This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
I'm baseball. I'm WGN. Harry Carey with Milo Hamilton.
The 84 Cubs take the field.
Here are the lineups for the Cubs. Dernier in center. Sandberg at second. Durham at first. Marlin in right. Say at third. As Arnie Harris slowly was bringing the lineups.
Yeah.
The big Chiron that would take up the whole screen.
The reveal.
Davis, the catcher. Ball short. And Rick Sutcliffe coming over from the Indian.
That's right.
15-1 for the Chicago Cubs. Defensively, we have slowly going. Again, they didn't have the diamond.
Shot up there, Arnie.
Again, they would have like the defensive lineup would just be, again, the lineup. They didn't have like the diamond like you have today where you have left, center, right. They didn't have the technology. So they just rolled out the lineup again for the defense.
Correct. If Arnie was still alive, he'd be like, wait a minute. I got a lot of toys I can play with in here now.
Boy, television's really come along a long way,
man.
Oh.
Try watching a game in regular versus HD. It's like torture.
So, you've seen this too, right? Games that we saw in like 2000 look primitive.
Primitive.
The worst. I can't, like the NFL.
2000!
NFL films or NFL Network will sometimes have like Super Bowl classics. And if it's, you're right, Hoodie, if it's before 2002, no thanks.
My God, like the Rams Super Bowl championship looks like it's from the 1970s.
Right, it's crazy.
Like, wait a minute.
It's crazy.
Not HD, is that, that's really the difference. I mean, that was still color TV.
No.
It looks grainy. The Bulls,
awful.
The Bulls championships looks like the Knicks from 71.
Correct, it's crazy.
It's amazing how television and just technology evolves.
Yeah, and I was telling the story. My kids, like, now they're not living at home, but when it was a year or two ago, Alex is on the couch. He's watching something on his phone. What are you watching? A movie. Really? He said, yeah, I stream it on Xfinity. I'm like, dude, that's a 73-inch TV right there. 8 feet from your face.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, I'm good. You're good? Yeah, I just watch it on my phone. It's good.
You know what, Alex? Give me that phone.
Yeah.
Put it on the TV.
That's insane.
Are you out of your mind?
That's the way they are today, man.
It's amazing.
And when they are late to practice, which obviously isn't the first time, they don't have the ability to take personal responsibility and go, you're right, I'm sorry, I was late. Nope. They take the letter that the coach sends you, and they post it on their Instagram. So Jalen Johnson got fined yesterday for being late to practice, being late to the facility. Here's what the letter said. This is to inform you, Jalen, that you are hereby being fined $2,745 for your unexcused late to building at daily specified mandatory report time on October 19, 2021, pursuant to 2.5J of the 2021 Chicago Bears Maximum Club Discipline Schedule in accordance with Article 42 of the National Football League's Collective Bargaining Agreement. He then takes a screenshot of the letter with his phone and posts it on Instagram. This blank is crazy, bruh. Walked in as it turned 8:16 and they text me like this. With a copy of the letter signed by Matt Nagy that had the legal formality of a subpoena. Matt, are you aware your guy ran the Instagram?
That's news to me, but at the same point in time, I'll be able to talk to him and see, what that's all about. But Jalen's been he's been doing great. And, again, for what it is and where we're at, I'll be able to discuss it with him.
Bears PR aware of this? Clearly not.
They weren't then.
Because you would have smartened Nagy up on that. You would have told Nagy.
Like, he goes from one meeting to the next to watch film, the next. Like, the dude works 84 hours a day.
Yep.
You would think, come in. Coach, sorry to bother you while you're in this meeting or watching film. You find Jalen this morning. Yep. What? He put it on Instagram. He what? He put the letter on Instagram with a snide comment.
Call him in here.
Go get him.
Yep.
He's in a meeting with it. Go get him.
And he comes in because he got the sweats on.
Right.
Coach, sit down. Close the door behind you. What the H is this? It's on the gram, dog. It's on the gram, dog. What? So we'd be going at it, right? So it would be me and Jalen going at it. So what do you mean it's on the gram, dog? Take that down, number one. Number two, another fine. Take that.
Correct. You air our personal business on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Not going to happen here.
Yeah. Would Jalen Johnson, same exact situation, do that to Bill Belichick? Would he do that to Andy Reid?
What about Mike Tomlin?
Would he do that to Mike Tomlin? Hey, would he do it to Sean Payton?
Hold on.
Don't bring up Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown's IG-living a team meeting.
But Antonio Brown's a different animal, and he's out of there now. Like, Antonio Brown's a unique character in the NFL.
That's true.
You can't go there. I'm talking Jalen Johnson, second-year player, this exact situation, 1 minute late, to an Andy Reid meeting, to a Sean Payton meeting, to a Bill Belichick meeting, to a Sean McVay meeting. Answer me honestly, Cap. Yes or no, he would have run to Instagram.
I think yes, because that's the culture today of the young athlete.
I would say zero shot. I would say it's a respect thing. There is a respect level for an Andy Reid or a Sean Payton or a Bill Belichick or a Sean McVay that Matt Nagy just doesn't have.
I'll say this. Like, I think Cap may be correct. Jalen Johnson is a second-year player. It's possible this happens under Bill Belichick or some of these other coaches. But the question is, how would it be handled? I do think if Jalen Johnson did this and he was a member of the Patriots, I think there would be repercussions. He would know that never happens again. I think you can make the argument that Antonio Brown, when he Instagram lived on Facebook in the locker room, that was kind of the beginning of the end of his time in Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
Yes. So that's how that was handled, was you can't keep doing this, and if you do, you'll be out of here sooner than you think.
But if he did that, if that was Antonio Brown IG-living a Bears locker room, everyone would be going, see, disrespects Matt Nagy. Mike Tomlin is one of the most respected guys in the league, and he was irate about it.
Well, I would just say that we don't have any examples of this happening to Belichick or Andy Reid or some of those tenured coaches.
We also don't have any other examples of this happening to Nagy. We don't ever hear this stuff.
Well, you had this whole thing with Jimmy Graham. Did you remember this?
Right, he liked a tweet because about playing time or whatever it was.
Also, a former wide receiver from here also was making some crack or made some kind of liking of a tweet or made some emoji about the Bears' ineptitude offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who that was. That was a Javon Wims.
Something like that,
right?
Because they cut him.
So there's some social media things that has happened while Nagy's been the head coach, but nothing this egregious where you put your whole thing out there trying to clout chase and let people know, hey, don't you feel sorry for me, man? Can't you believe this is happening? Dude, the reason why that you do that is because you don't get it.
Correct.
You don't understand why time is important. He doesn't get fined if he hasn't done. He's done this clearly multiple times. That's why he's been fined. That's why. He's chronically late and couldn't care less, and he got fined, and now he feels like he's being wronged. No. If everyone else got to be on time, you have to be on time as well.
Okay, so Danny told us earlier in the show that his wife is always late.
My wife's always.
Can I say one more thing before we move on about Mike Tomlin, because I've been searching this? So they asked Mike Tomlin about it, and he didn't play dumb and say, I didn't know, and, you know, Antonio Brown's a great player. This is what he said. That was foolish of him. It was selfish of him. It was inconsiderate of him. Not only is it a violation of our policy, it's a violation of league policy, which he knows. There will be consequences to be dealt with from his perspective. We will punish him. That's what Mike Tomlin said, not, Jalen's a great guy. We like Jalen. I'm unaware of this. I'm also unaware of my playbook. If you want to compare Tomlin to Nagy, let's do it accurately.
There you go.
Okay.
I mean, swift and to the point by Mike Tomlin.
Well, there's a big difference of Instagram living a locker room.
You brought up, but you brought up the comparison.
Something went on under Mike Tomlin that if that same exact thing had happened in Chicago, you'd be the first guy going, see, that's disrespectful to Matt Nagy. They know the rules.
And do you think anybody in the Steelers will ever do it again, knowing how Mike Tomlin handled that? Now, I would say a Chicago Bears player is probably not shaking in their boots today the way Matt Nagy handled Jalen Johnson.
That is correct.
Except you don't know how he handled it behind the scenes.
Okay, but with the media, there is a media perception. We spent an hour talking about Brett Bielema yesterday, the way he handled things in front of the media to send a message. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth when it applies to our argument.
Yeah, but a lot of people hated what Brett Bielema did. Hated it.
But there were some people saying he was using the media to send a message.
Correct.
Mike Tomlin went right to the media and said, no, this is not going to be tolerated.
But how many coaches, really good ones, I know you don't like Dusty. Dusty would, Joe Madden, your guy. Joe Madden would never address that up there. He would say, I'll handle this in-house.
I'll also say this, though. I don't think that you have to bend over backwards for a player when you already have team rules set. I'm not going to chalk it up to, well, he's a millennial or he's from a different generation, so it's okay for him to post his life on Instagram. If you have standards, it's already been put in place as a team, and you break that, that's a problem.
Correct.
But I'm not going to say he's 22, 23, these things happen. Well, listen, if it's David Kaplan's team and he says, look, all of our private stuff when it comes to practices or games, that cannot be on social media. We keep that in-house. Now, if he breaks that rule, clearly you'd have a problem with it, right?
No question about it.
That's what we're talking about here.
No question about it. And Belichick's big thing is, if it gets to my desk, we got a way bigger problem. I don't get involved with any of this stuff because I got veterans in that locker room. They police it.
What's the bigger offense to you guys? Jalen Johnson being a minute late or him posting the message from the team on Instagram Live? What's a bigger offense?
The posting.
I agree.
For me.
I would agree.
But however.
But being late's also a problem.
Yeah, a chronically late. If you're chronically late. But this has got to be like the second or third time, right?
Right. But I would bet you that if they're, pick one of the lead, Urlacher, Kreutz, one of those dudes, they would go up to the player and go, we're done.
Yeah.
You're not going to be late again.
Well, why can't Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, or Roquan Smith say that to him?
Agreed. Maybe that's not how they operate. I don't know. So, 312-332-3776. We will get back to your calls, Jay and Bill and Gorman and Mark and all of you. We'll check in with Jeff Darlington on Bears, Bucks, and around the NFL next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on, Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 with Danny, Jeff, and JR. Tom Brady and the Bears will lock horns in Tampa. Aaron says he owns the Bears. You heard Tom, what he had to say. Here's Cole Kmet.
Well, I mean, let's face it, he's not totally wrong. I mean, he's been pretty successful against the Bears in his career, so... You know, it's on us to kind of change that narrative going forward.
Well said, Cole. That leads us to our guy, Jeff Darlington, who's awesome around the National Football League. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
What's up? How are we doing?
You know how we're doing. Sad.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know what? Aaron Rodgers needs to settle down. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Sure.
Well, give us your thoughts as you look at this matchup, because I know Tom's won 7 rings. I know this dude's motivated by, like, 2 days after they win, he's back in the gym because he's on to the next thing. Do you think he's still, there's some part of him, they beat our ass in Chicago last year, and I thought it was fourth down, and it was actually, he was looking for fifth down. Do you think he's motivated? All right, I'm going to pay them back.
Probably, but actually, if I had to guess, I would say his motivation comes from the fact that he knows, after what he saw last year, how prepared he's going to be.
More from a, hey man, I got humbled by these pass rushers than I need to go get redemption. I just think that this is actually, and I'm not just saying it because I'm on the air with you guys in Chicago. As most people know, I'm probably the biggest Tom Brady apologist / homer in the history of sports. But I actually think that this is a sneaky tough game for him and for the Bucs. I look at that pass rush and I think about the things that have given Tom Brady fits in the past, and it's exactly this. And it's not just the sacks, but what is it, 36 knockdowns, quarterback knockdowns this season for the Bears defense?
Yep. Yeah.
I think that that's significant when you're going up against this team. Antonio Brown's dealing with this ankle issue, and that's been kind of Tom's go-to guy this season. So we'll see how that ends up playing out. Even if he can play, how much can he go? I don't know, man. I just feel like this is a little bit sneakier than maybe people are giving it credit for.
So could you put in perspective for us, Jeff, what we're seeing here with Tom Brady, with the championships that he's won and everything in his career? Because this is supposed to look like Jamie Moyer or Vinny Testaverde or, you know, old quarterbacks that don't have it anymore. Right. But at this age, so from one to Jordan, where do we put Tom Brady as far as what we're seeing? Because this may never happen again.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's, like, when we bring up, like, Jordan, I think the two elements of this that are most fascinating is that, well, the most important one is the fact that it's not just that he's the greatest of all time, which he has solidified. It's the fact that he's doing that at an age that nobody else has, including Jordan. So I don't even think it's really a comparison, necessarily, for the sake of, like, trying to say who's better. I think it's more like this is just unprecedented territory in terms of what he's doing. I saw the other day a stat. You know, they do those next-gen stats where they basically have the tracker and the ball and they can tell all sorts of different statistics. He's got the fastest thrown pass this season and the longest air distance of any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, compare that. He's 44 years old. So beyond the fact that he's actually playing well, he's actually doing it in a way that isn't some, like, check-down, efficient type of thing that an old guy would do. He's doing it in not only the mental sense but the physical sense. And that's the thing that, as I'm watching him and covering a lot of these games, that I've come to appreciate the most.
Okay, so you're talking to a guy who died on an operating table. My heart stopped. I came back. It's been a long time. You're going somewhere. I remember the whole experience. I tell you that because when we get to where we're headed in our next life, you're going to look and go, he was not a human being. That guy's a robot. There's no way you can. Like, our producer Danny has the healthiest diet known to man. He works out 100 hours a week. There is no possible way at age 44 you can get the living H beaten out of you in the National Football League as much as he has and still be that good. He can't be human.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I look at, I've really gotten close to understand sort of what he goes through from a physical standpoint with his whole pliability thing, and I understand the TB12 method, and he wants that to catch on around the world, and I kind of joke, like, look, man, you don't understand. It's not just the method. It's the absolute insane way in which he approaches it. I mean, it is nuts how much he goes through on a daily basis to get his body to where it is. Like, I think if I ride a Peloton, like, three consecutive days, I'm in the best shape of my life.
Right.
He is drinking like three. I mean, imagine like drinking like 3 gallons of water a day, having someone working on your body, cooking your food, and I'm not taking anything away from him. In fact, I'm praising him through this. It like he is. You're right. He is the closest thing to a robot that we have right now in sports.
What is the best course of action for the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson, Jeff? How do you handle this? Because we discussed this earlier, and I see what's on ESPN.com. There's not going to be some trade made with Miami. I know that's conjecture and it sounds good, but if you're the Texans, how do you handle this?
Well, the biggest issue the Texans face right now is just the lack of clarity when it comes to the off-the-field issues. I know that that's not that's no secret, but what you have to understand is there are teams that are interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, the only of which Watson wants to play for is Miami, that have inquired with the NFL, and they've said to the NFL, can you give us some sort of expectation as to where you're at with Deshaun Watson, whether he what's going to take to wind up having him on the commissioner's exempt list? So it's not just the legal process of 22 civil lawsuits against him alleging sexual misconduct. It's also, what is the NFL going to do with him at any given moment? If you're not going to, if you're going to do it before the trade deadline and make that trade, it's because, let's just use Miami for an example, they need a quarterback now. So if you go give up five, the equivalent of five first round picks to get him, and tomorrow he gets added to the commissioner's exempt list, what do you do then? Do you go back to Tua and say, oh, hey, bud, you remember that thing with the Deshaun Watson thing? Don't worry about that. You're still our quarterback.
Right.
So it comes with such complications that I can't fathom a team giving up so much with so much concern and lack of clarity in the process.
I want to go back to Tom for a second because he does these Subway ads. I read this article where he said his family said to him, Dad, we go out for pizza as a family and you just sit there and eat a salad or you don't eat. And he said, you know what? All right, once a month we can have pizza or we get ice cream as a family. Do you think he's truly doing that or it's all hoax and he doesn't eat anything negative?
No, he does. I can confirm. This is major breaking news, but he does eat things that that the rest of us eat as well. I mean, wow. This is a ridiculous conversation, but I'm very aware of his affinity for pizza and cheeseburgers.
So, how about that, Danny?
Yeah, salacious.
I know, right? Unless Jeff can provide a picture, if he can text it to me after, I do not believe Tom Brady puts that crap in his body.
Guys, when he's eating that food, you have to sign an NDA. When you're around him.
That's pretty good.
And I'm completely kidding because this could certainly wind up as a major headline in sports.
Yes.
I've already sent it to TMZ.
Exactly. Brady actually does eat normal food occasionally.
Yep. What are you hearing in Las Vegas now? They were able to turn around and win the game last Sunday.
Yeah,
but, I mean, with the whole thing with the Gruden fallout, Jeff, I wonder how the Raiders look at the organization now. Again, new leadership, but I wonder how the players, how they fall in line after all of this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really interesting. I was at that game, and you kind of knew they were going to get some jolt of energy from the situation. But I kind of, not to be a pessimist here, but I go back to the fact that, like, you pay these head coaches $100 million over 10 years like they did John Gruden for a reason. You know, you're not just going to get that from a guy that you pull off the bench, basically. So, yes, I think you can get a jolt out of the gate on that. But, I mean, if we think about interim coaches of the past, there's often times when you have an interim coach come in, team gets some energy, some renewed kind of just motivation, and then it falls off from there. Not trying to hate on him, but I think it's pretty unlikely for them to kind of keep that thing going for the way they did on Sunday.
Jeff, what do you think the narrative is nationally? We know what it is here. Do you think people in the know, in the league, people you talk to, that Matt Nagy will not be the head coach next season here?
I don't know, honestly. And I know it's easy to try to make these assessments based on what we're seeing on the field, but I still think that it's so important to go to understand, like, you have to look at the dynamics between Nagy and the rest of the organization, where pace stands, because these decisions don't just get made because, like, they see a certain thing. I mean, there are very personal relationships that sort of steer the way. I mean, think about Jeff Fisher. Like, think about how long that guy held onto a job. You know why? Because he had such a good relationship with ownership. He just kind of hung on. So it's tough to say, man. Like, I know people want to make conclusions, But there's a lot more that goes into this than just X's and O's.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to ask a question that I used to ask the late Pedro Gomez. You ready for this, Cap? Ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, what's the team in the NFL that you never hear from, that never comes on your phone, that you never get an email about? What's the team that's the quietest team in the NFL?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Who do I never hear from? You're inclined to say the Patriots, but they're actually really good.
Right. How about Ryan Pace?
No. I mean, the team
Bears are tough, by the way. The Bears are tough, but that's not fair because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are actually pretty good dudes. Gosh, that's a great question. I'm kind of stumped.
Does your phone ever ring about the Lions? Does it ever ring about?
Well, I know Jared Goff pretty well.
Okay.
It's like weird, you know. You kind of have relationships with certain guys on each team, but there are certain teams like. Gosh, I'm trying to think of a good one right now, and I can't.
I mean, the team that you hear from the least. Like, I used to ask Pedro Gomez this, right? And he'd go, I never hear anything about the A's.
Right.
Because the ACS, there's no news. You know what it is, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Bengals. I mean, I'm in Florida, so I'm around the Jaguars a lot. But I would imagine that if you asked most reporters, they'd probably say the Jaguars pretty quick. That's a pretty big wasteland for NFL reporters. Like they could be. It takes them to be pretty. Like they have to be in the NFC Championship game, literally a few years ago, for people to start caring. Like even at ESPN, it's like they'll be 13-0. So maybe we should start covering them. You know,
late.
it takes so long. Meanwhile, like the Jets score a touchdown, and we're sending the whole set of countdown there.
That's crazy.
Hey man, have a great rest of your day. We love talking ball with you.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
You too. Be good. There he is, Jeff Darlington from ESPN. Very dialed in the National Football League. He's all over Get Up at SportsCenter and all of it.
Not all the National Football League. There's some teams that don't contact him.
Exactly. The Jags. But I'm down here, so for most people, it's the Jags.
Yeah. But how about the huge news we made with the Tom Brady and the eating that's going to go viral?
He actually eats cheeseburger. He said pizza and cheeseburger.
I don't believe a word of it.
That's funny.
And Tom has said, yes, my kids kind of came to me and said, if we're going to go out as a family and eat pizza, Mom eats it, you got to eat it. And he said, okay, but then we got to get good pizza, not crappy pizza.
And what else did he say? He said, a lot of times I just say what people want to hear.
Except Jeff said,
because I'm a professional.
I can confirm it. Sounds like Jeff's been with him for that. Yes. Anyway. Does your significant other give you an unwarranted bad rep for something they do that blows back on you? Next.
Take that.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on at Cap J. Hood at 9:36, almost 9:37. Hope your day's off to a really good start.
By the time people hear this, it'll be 9:37.
Bingo.
The delay, you know.
Take that.
Yeah. Is that right, Jeff? The delay gets it to 9:37.
Yes, actually in 9:37 and 15 seconds, Hydro.
All right.
What time is it on the podcast?
I don't know. Keep your beak out of it.
I'm going to say we're nearing the 30-minute mark on the pod.
Beak.
That's estimate, though.
That's the word of the day, man. Beak.
It's the word of the show.
I love that word.
You're welcome.
Beak.
You're welcome for that.
There you go. That was you. You put that in there. Keep your beak out of it.
I want to make sure that people know that on Cap and J Hood, this is a safe space if you want to talk about your spouse. That's women, you know, women or men. You can be able to talk about your spouse. And the reason why we bring this up is because Jalen Johnson, once again, was late, and he was fined. But at the same time, the spouses, the lovely Diana and Peacock, they have a problem with time. They don't value time.
Correct.
Now, clearly, Jeff and Cap don't have a problem with this, but Danny and I are kindred spirits. We're friends, and we pretty much married the same person, clearly, because they don't know what time it is.
Right.
Unless it has something to do with work, of course.
And they also like to collect a lot of stuff and leave it all over the house. Like, the more I get to know Hoodie's wife and the more he gets to know my wife, I feel like we're almost married to the same woman.
There you go. Where I'm married to a warden who we are going to be on time.
Yes. Yes.
So she has changed me in many ways.
Yes. You're married to McHale. McHale's Navy.
That's correct. And I am a private in said Navy. Anyway, let's go to Stones and Huntley first. Hey, Stones, what's up? Stones.
Great show. Great show.
Hey. Thank you.
My kids were little. My wife originally was late all the time. I will say she's gotten better. But what a good example. The kids were little. Got a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. She says, hey, we got to pick up my mom tomorrow. I said, hey, hon, your mom's always late. We'll pick her up, but I'm not waiting. Why don't you have her go with your sister? She's always late. No. So we get there next day. I pull up. I said, babe, 5 minutes. We got to go. She goes in. 5 minutes goes by. Me and the kids, I pull out. We're gone. Going to Chuck E. Cheese. Kids are like, Dad, what? Isn't Mom going to Chuck E. Cheese? I say, yep, she's going with Grandma. Guess what? We were on time. 45 minutes later, my wife shows up with her mom and her sister, who's always late because she came to pick them up.
Oh,
but good for you,
but
man.
But you know what? You had peace of mind, though. So that's quality, right? 45 minutes late. Hey, that's amazing.
Yeah, she you know, Bob will give her credit. Since then, she's been good to go. And mother-in-law, every time she knows she's going with us now, I pull up to the house. She's on the porch, smoking a Rhett, ready to roll.
Good to go. Smoking a Rhett. Stones, you're the man.
Can I throw in a quickie?
Yeah.
My wife was 20 minutes late for our wedding, and her excuse was she forgot her contacts, made the limo driver turn around. Well, back in the day, you know how it was. My old man, we were in the back of the church in the holy room. He fires up a cigar and says, if it was me, you'd have to come get me out of the bar. You got to get this fixed or you're going to be in for a long marriage, son.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
How about that, Danny?
How long you been married?
It'll be 35 years coming up.
God bless you, man.
I love that, man.
You have a great day, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, Hoodie. Longtime fan of both you guys, going back to the high school holidays down the dial.
That's exactly right. Love that,
all
man.
Right, guys.
Love that cover.
You're awesome.
Right.
Have a great day.
Hey, guys, by the way, my wife's all her girlfriends said we wouldn't last 6 months. They're all divorced. So take that.
Take that. There you go. 312-332-3776.
Hey, Cap, one other thing I just want to mention.
Hey, Stones was a Hall of Fame caller. I like that guy.
He's cool.
Well, one other thing I want to mention. It's like freaking Columbo.
I think, do you guys agree, though? Wives get their wedding days. The wedding does not start till they arrive, and they can be as late as they want. Do you guys agree with that?
It doesn't start without them, but it ain't going to start without you either.
It's their show, not ours.
Yes. Like, I think that's the one day you give them the pass. Whenever they want to show up, they're getting ready, making themselves look beautiful.
Yeah, my wife was on time waiting. Because I was on the golf course.
That's totally cool. So you were late to your wedding?
No, I was on time.
Okay.
I played golf we teed off at like 7 a.m. We were getting married at 11. And so we played, only played 9. Oh. Showered, put my tux on. Bam! I know who I'm marrying. I got married on time. I was ready.
One other thing I want to point out.
Okay, here. Stones, thanks.
The murder. Yeah, you sure that you didn't see anything? Okay, thanks a lot. Hey, one other thing I just mentioned. You know, the rug, the fibers of the rug. It's a little different over here than it is
Columbo over here.
Oh, hold on a second. I was just asking a question. Okay, thanks a lot. 59 minutes of this. Just solve the freaking murder. Columbo! You seen it, right, Cap?
I did.
I mean, why would it take him so long? Just doddering around with that bad jacket, hair all over the place. I mean, just got my ham sandwich and just over here trying to figure it out.
Peter Falk.
Yeah, hey, Peter, just get me to the end.
And then when did he leave that to start representing Jordan?
It's David Falk.
Oh, sorry. That's the wrong Falk.
You're going to marry that woman.
In all fairness, do you guys do anything that gives your wives a bad reputation? Because we're talking about Sylvie took a shot at me yesterday on the show because when I'm with my wife, I'm late. So that's how this came up, that our wives give us a bad reputation. In all fairness, do you guys do anything that give your wives a bad reputation? Hoodie's holding up his phone. I have a feeling Peacock is listening.
What did she say?
She was on time for their wedding. Their wedding was at midnight, though. She couldn't be there at noon.
So, we were on time for the wedding. You know why? Because she was propped up like Weekend at Bernie's. That's why. But because she had her bridesmaids, like, making sure her hair was perfect. And like, because that's why she was on time. They pretty much wheeled her out there. Because she was up all night with getting her hair done, making sure that her makeup was just perfect. And then they just put her out there. So, pretty much, Weekend at Bernie's. Put a hat on her, sunglasses, let's go. Pretty much.
Time to go.
Yeah. So, no, she was on time for the wedding, yes. That was the last time.
It
was 21 years ago.
Exactly. Okay. Take that.
So answer the question. Did you forget what I asked?
Yeah, you asked if I do anything or we do anything that would give our wives a bad rep?
Correct.
No.
This show, yes. Things said on this show, yes, might give her a bad reputation.
Yeah, she actually sat down and she, yesterday we were eating her birthday dinner.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, did you say something about menopause on the air? I looked at her and went, yeah, twice.
How about the time you said her sister was hot? Or wait, how about the time you had us stalk one of your old girlfriends on Facebook?
Huh?
Don't do that.
I did not do that.
You did.
You did.
You did do that.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
You said her name.
Yes, you did.
We put up a picture on the screen. You said how hot she still looked.
And you DM'd her.
You DM'd her.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I did not.
She has some kind of weird hyphenated name.
No, her name was Audrey.
Audrey Zarlin. What?
Meadows.
Zarlin.
See, you remember. Why are you acting like you don't remember?
I did not. Her name was Audrey Zarlin. I would never do that. She used to be hot. Not bad now. Good eats. What do you mean, Cap? What's the matter with you? Total denial. Wait, I remember now. She was hot.
She was hot.
I understand that, but you total denial. I did not DM
her. I did not DM her.
You did DM her.
I did not.
I watched
you. Yes, you did. Yes, you sent her a message.
Yes, you did.
You slid into her DMs.
Yes, you did.
Hey, remember me? I'm a big star now.
I was talking about you on the air. You came up. How's your family? Take that. Don't say that.
Yeah, that's not true.
It is true. I'm your partner. I was watching you.
First of all, I've never checked. I don't think she's on Twitter, so there's no DM. I don't think she's on the gram. I think Danny found her on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. Yes, that's where you told me to look.
Yes, you told him to look.
You check even Facebook. Spelled the name.
Is there a picture? She's with a group. Oh, God. Still pretty good.
Does your significant other give you an unwarranted bad reputation? Next.
Take that.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Boy, we're having laughs in this studio. We got to put the stuff that you and I talk about at break, like, on a separate podcast, because that is gold.
Got a great idea. We could call it Unhinged.
Danny, we ought to do this. Crosstalk Unhinged.
What do you think?
We just call it At the Break Unhinged.
I love it, guys.
What do you think?
I love it. Marketing geniuses, you two.
Could you imagine Danny on that? The things he would say?
Oh my God.
Wow. The ideas. I mean, he's the black heart of this family here, but he's got long thoughts about a lot of things.
He does.
If people heard his thoughts, my God.
Santos is in Seattle. Hey, Santos.
Hey, what's going on? I called in from the north side a few days ago in the process of relocating. So it's around 7 here. Now I was listening to y'all air my man Cap out for trying to pull up on one of his old exes. And all I got to say, man, if you didn't beat, you didn't cheat. But that's going to be a flag on the play, 15-yard penalty on the grounds of bro code violation, automatic first down. So that's all I got to say. Y'all have a good rest of your day.
She was hot, though, Santos. Have a great day, man. See you, buddy.
And there is an example of what Cap does to embarrass Mindy.
Correct.
Oh!
And the truth of the matter is, it's all in fun, because I never, ever DM'd or any of that. Nothing. Just told you guys her name when she worked the turnstile with me.
I bet she did.
In the toys and sporting goods department.
Oh, kinky.
Do you know how to erase your DMs from your Facebook? Because I'm sure when you get home...
First of all, there are no DMs on Facebook that I know. I don't use Facebook. I have a page... No? I have like 11,000 unread messages in there. If stuff gets posted there, it's because it's linked to like my Twitter.
Yes.
I have nothing to do with Facebook. I'm not a Facebook guy. I think they're changing the name. I just saw that in the news.
What are you going to call it?
They haven't said yet. Maybe the Facebook.
Danny would be a part of that then, if it's the Facebook.
Exactly.
He'd be hauled out for that.
Right.
For
like
sure.
The get up is on in the morning. Let's go to Jay in Dallas. Hey, Jay, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to give a grade on Justin Fields, but I got to tell you guys about how my wife embarrasses me. So I'm from the south side of Chicago. She's from a little small town in East Texas. So she does things like we go on vacation, and there's this, you know, we go to, they have these pearl stores. It's like Tahiti. And so they have these pearl stores. We go in there looking for pearls. We don't buy anything, and the people tell us, okay, if you go buy one, make sure the people give you a certificate of authenticity. So we go out, we're on the street, walking down the street, and there's a table of people selling pearls. So she asked the people, do you have a certificate? I'm like, what are you doing? You don't buy a Louis Vuitton on the street and ask if you can have a certificate of authenticity. So she does things like that. We're in New Orleans, and they're selling gummy bears on the street. And she's like, let's get some for our 7 and 9-year-old children. I'm like, they're not gummy bears that you eat. They're the gummies with marijuana in them. You don't buy those for children. So those are the kind of things she does to embarrass me.
I get it. Completely get it. Well right, said.
Man. Hey, man, have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you. Thanks
all
for
right.
listening.
You ready, Cap?
Yes.
5 things I know about college football. Here we go. You ready for this? Number 5, sloppy top, Tennessee. Nice, classy Volunteers fans throwing mustard bottles, concessions at Lane Kiffin after a loss. Hey, you won't be doing that in Tuscaloosa when Alabama kicks your butt, baby. Let me tell you what's going to happen. When Bama gets mad, the tide rolls. You will take the tide and the 25 for sure. They will roll against Tennessee on Saturday. And number 4. Let me ask you a question, Cap.
Yep.
Can a one-loss Irish team make the college football playoff? They play USC, and I will say throughout the records for this, right? Because I know that Notre Dame is a 6.5-point favorite, but, you know, it's a rivalry game. USC, mm-hmm. Notre Dame for a long time. This will be the swan song for Brian Kelly as he goes to USC. He's going to scout his new team for next year. Brian Kelly, what else does he have to prove in Notre Dame? The national championship's not coming to him. I think he might be scouting his new team for next year.
That could be, but he's not getting in the playoff at Notre Dame.
Number 3. Brett Bielema, throwing Lovie Smith's recruits and players under the bus. How about this? Can you do better? As Cap laid out for everybody, he was given the keys to the Maserati at Wisconsin. Alvarez says, here, kid, take the keys. Yeah, be successful with Wisconsin. Oh, Wisconsin's not big enough for you? You go to Arkansas. Second-tier SEC team. Second tier. And what happened? You failed miserably. And then you take the Illini job. You fire Lovie. Next day, oh, ladies and gentlemen, Brett Bielema. Can I tell you something? Enjoy your L's and enjoy the 23 or more that you're going to get put on you against Penn State on Saturday.
They're going to get smoked.
There's another win on that schedule for the Fighting Illini. So take that. Basketball school. Number 2.
Yes.
Cincinnati's the number 2 team in the country. What happened to my college football? Cincinnati's the number 2 team in the country. Can I tell you something right now? They will take on Navy. They'll get past Navy. But can I tell you something, Cap? The non-Power 5 team at number 2 in the country? Oh, no, no. Unless you're Central Florida, unless you're Western Michigan, unless you're Utah State, unless you're App State, they all had an opportunity to make waves. And guess what? You failed. So can I tell you something right now? Cincinnati might be good for what they do, but not good enough to be the number 2 team in the country. Until one of those non-Power 5 teams beats a Power 5 team in the college football playoff, I don't want to hear about it. Hey, keep your beak out of my college football.
They almost beat Georgia in the bowl game last year.
What did I tell you was going to happen?
Bet the money line. They scored late Georgia to cover. Not to cover, but to win.
Did they win the game?
They did.
Did they win the game? Did I know about my team? Do I know Georgia?
You did.
Okay, there you go. And number 1, Ed Ogeron. That's a shame, man. Really? She's pregnant. Allegedly. Really? You can have any woman you want, but you know why? Because you can just flash your jewelry and go, I want it at your championship. You can say, I was the guy for LSU. And what do? You get yourself in a
pickle.
Well, I don't know if a pickle was used there, but nonetheless.
He got his beak involved.
He did? He used his nose?
He's hitting on the pregnant, beautiful wife of a higher up at the university.
That is nonsense, Ed Ogeron. And I'll tell you right now, at LSU, it's a top 5 job, and you're out of it. You're still going to be coaching, and yet they already said you're fired. That says a lot for LSU. And by the way, you're getting fired, and you won the game against Florida, against Alex James Brown's hapless, toothless Florida Gators. I cannot wait to see my buddy Brett Kaplan. I'm going to say, hey, Brett, you want to put on some real gear? Hey, my favorite player, he happens to be a guy named Hoischel. So let me tell you right now, Brett, I'm going to get you that Georgia gear that you deserve, because you need to wear the gear of the number one team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs. And that's five things I know about college football.
That's my guy. That's Hoodie. We'll cross that with Carmen York in 2 minutes and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Watch us live and join the chat, sponsored by 3G. Take that.